Hi, I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. I am here today with Vicki McGinnis from the Sheba program. How are you, Vicki?
I'm great, Scott. It's good to be with you again.
It's great to have you back. Thanks for joining me. Vicki, can you tell us what Sheba stands for?
Sheba stands for the Senior Health Insurance Benefit Assistance Program. It's throughout the state of Oregon. There's usually Sheba in every county. It is also a nationwide program. In other states, it's called SHIP.
Very cool. What does SHIP stand for?
Senior Health Insurance Program.
Oh, okay. So why the different name in Oregon?
That's just Oregon. You know, we do a lot of things different. We put out a manual, a book, for Medicare, and we do it every year. And there's only like two states in the nation that do it. And so then when those states find our book and see it, then they want to copy it because we lay it out for the consumer so much easier than the Medicare and You and all the stuff you see on TV and the stuff you get in the mail when you're getting close to Medicare age.
Yeah.
So it's a nationwide program, but it's also statewide, and the state office in Salem does a fantastic job of putting these manuals together for our consumers.
That's very cool. So if someone wants to get a hold of one of these, where would they find them?
Any place in the state that has a Sheba worker, or they can actually call the state Sheba office and they will send them to them. But usually they're put around in senior centers, activity centers, just about any, a lot of the doctor's offices have them.
Oh, cool. That's awesome that Oregon takes so much care to make it more understandable.
Well, they do try really hard because let's face it and be honest here, Medicare is not really user-friendly. It's very complex and very hard to work with. So Sheba workers throughout the state are trained. They take quite a long training module, and then they go to a new volunteer training. And every year we have to update our training with 12 hours worth of new training. And we have monthly meetings, and it's very complex, and it's great to find people that are willing to do that, but sometimes it's so complex that volunteers say no, it's a little bit more than they want to take on.
So this program operates largely with volunteers around the state then?
It's almost all volunteers. There's a state office, and then there are volunteer coordinators, which is what I am, and I also counsel on the side. But other than that, it's all run by volunteers.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. So there's offices in each county then, like you said, for this. So if someone happens to be listening to this in another county, there's probably a Sheba representative for their county, correct?
Yes, there is. If they call the state Sheba office and put in their zip code, it will automatically bump their call to their local office.
Oh, cool. Maybe we can get the state office contact info as well attached to this podcast. That might be helpful for people, as well as the contact information for the office in Gold Beach.
Yes, the state office number is 1-800-722-4134. And then you just put in your zip code and it will push you to your own. Or if you're in Curry County, you can dial 541-247-3280. And that will direct you directly to my line.
Okay, cool. And you're very helpful, so that's really awesome.
I try to be.
So we're here today to talk about Sheba and open enrollment. Yeah. So can you explain to us what open enrollment means?
Open enrollment is from October 15th to December the 7th. And that's the time of year that anybody can make a change in their Medicare insurance program that they need. So they have the Part D, which is the drug plan. So if people, for some reason, need to change their drug company because maybe the formulary's changed, that's the time they do it, or the premiums have changed. Every year, these companies change their premiums and their formularies, and so every year you have to look at it and see if it's still going to cover you as well as it did in the past. If you need to make a change in your Advantage plan, the Medicare Advantage plans, you would do it during open enrollment. There's several different kind of enrollment periods, but right now what we're focusing on is the open enrollment because it's coming up, and we want people to know that there are programs out there that if they're low income, there are programs that will help them pay that premium.
That's very cool. That's awesome that they can get help paying for that.
Yes, it is, because we have a lot of people that are low income that don't realize this program is there, that are actually making the choice between paying for their prescriptions or buying their food. So it is a big, I hate to use the term issue, but it's a real problem trying to locate these people. And if their income is low, there are programs that can help, as well as, you know, the SNAP program that helps with hunger and other things. So, yes, it's, you know, when you have a prescription that's going to cost you $200 and you only have $250 to eat on, if you have that much, what are you going to do? So we find people that are stretching their medications out. Instead of taking them daily, they're taking them every other day to make them last longer so that they can afford their prescription drugs. And these programs will help take care of that. If they qualify for the extra help, it can bring the cost of their prescriptions down to between $2.60 and $6.60 per drug. That makes a big difference.
That's a huge difference. I actually know people that are in this situation recently that have their prescriptions have changed, things have happened, and they've been like, how do I pay for this? I'm on a fixed income and I don't have the capability to pay for it. So that's awesome. So they would just contact you in Gold Beach and make an appointment?
Yes. And if their income is low, they can apply for the extra help at any time of the year. It doesn't have to be open enrollment.
Oh, really? Okay.
If their income is low enough, they can apply at any time.
And how would they find out if their income is low enough?
They could call me and I could
help them out with that.
Help them out with that.
Okay, that's cool. Awesome. Yeah, I definitely know a couple of people that I'm going to have them get in touch with you after we're done recording this podcast. So as far as the open enrollment, so this is for people that already aren't in Medicare, or I guess because I'm not in Medicare, I don't really understand how this works. You still have to enroll in the program, or?
You have to be on Medicare.
Okay.
You do have to have Medicare A or B. There are a lot of people out there that are on Medicare that are not 65. If you are on Social Security disability, after you've been on that for 24 months, you become eligible for Medicare. So you could be 25 and have a condition that makes it so that you can't work. So you've gone on Social Security disability, and now 24 months later, you're eligible for Medicare. So it's not just older people. It's anyone that's on Medicare.
So then most of the people that I see you talk to when you come here to Brookings to the Chetco Activity Center, most of the people, though, that I see you talking to are retirement age. So would the people that aren't retirement age, would they still need to talk to you for open enrollment, or is that specifically for people who are 65 and older?
Anyone that's on Medicare. If they're 25 and they're on Medicare, they would need to contact, or they should contact Sheba to see if the insurance company that they're with for their prescription drug plan, because those plans will change their formularies. So it may be covering you just fine this year, but next year, if their formulary changes, then they may not cover the drug that you're taking as well. So we can actually put them into the computer and compare them to plans to find out which one is going to have the best drug cost, which one is going to have the best premium cost, and whether or not it's going to have a deductible, because a lot of these plans have a $320 deductible. If you're not on low income, you have to pay that $320 before the plan kicks in. If you're on the extra help program, then that deductible does not apply to you unless you're only getting 50% help. Then there is a small deductible that applies. So it's good every year, whether you're on the plan, an extra help plan or not, to check and see what the plans are doing.
So they can make an appointment with you just by calling your office in Gold Beach at that direct line, correct?
Yes, they can call my office. I schedule appointments from there, and I'm also here in Brookings normally on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month. And my schedule may be off a little bit next month because of some other obligations. But whether they're new to Medicare or just wanting to check things, they're definitely welcome to call me. The other thing is that a lot of people that are new to Medicare, they need to check with Sheba or their own things, because when you're getting ready for Medicare at 65, you get piles and piles and piles of advertisements in your mailbox. Work for this Advantage plan, this Medigap plan, this drug plan. And a lot of times people are overwhelmed by it because they don't know, is this something that I have to take care of it? You know, they put it in the little tiny, tiny, fine letters that says this is an advertisement, is not part of Social Security or Medicare. But a lot of people don't see that. I actually have people that will bring me in a bag full of mail that they've received because they don't know what it is. So we're here to help them go through the steps that they need if they're new to Medicare to figure out what they need for their A, which is their hospitalization, their B, which covers their doctors and labs, that type of thing. A lot of people refer to the Advantage plans as Part C, and then, of course, D is the drug plan. So we're here to help them go through that those steps because it is confusing.
It sounds confusing. And it's really great that you have people that volunteer to help with this and help people figure it out, because it's difficult to navigate from what I understand from my friends that have to navigate it. It's a lot of information.
I'm very tickled. We have a volunteer here in the Brookings area that should be out on her own shortly. And then we have a lady that has actually moved from Idaho that was a full SHIBA volunteer in Idaho, and she's now taking the Oregon test, and so she will be on board this year, and maybe even her husband. So that will be a big difference of having four of us instead of one of us. It will make it a lot easier. Then we can reach more consumers, because that's the whole thing for us, is trying to reach the people we can help.
Yeah, absolutely. So during open enrollment, ordinarily you're only here in Brookings twice a month. During open enrollment, are you here more often, or?
Yes, during open enrollment, I try and come down at least once a week. And last year, I was down here 2 to 3 days a week because, of course, we have a higher population here in the Brookings area. And I do cover Port Orford. So, fortunately, it's not quite as big as Brookings, and I can usually get away with that with a couple days a week or a couple days a month.
So, just to recap for our listeners, we've talked about open enrollment, and that is October 15th through December 7th. Correct?
Correct.
And then we've also talked about if someone's low income and they need help paying for their prescriptions, it's possible that they could qualify for a program to help pay for those, right? And that's open at any time throughout the year.
Yes.
And you could help them figure out that as well. And then also people that maybe are under 65 that are on Medicare can also contact you and get help as well with questions that they might have.
Yes. We're here, like I said, we're here to help with the wonderful world of Medicare, and to help people understand just what covers what. Like I said before, the Part A, which if you're on Medicare and you've worked 40 quarters in your lifetime, the Part A is your hospitalization, and there's no charge for that. That's free. If you're under that 40 quarters, you're going to have to pay something towards it. Then you have the Part B, which covers your hospital, your labs, those kind of things. Your basic medical, it covers oxygen, things like that. That right now is $104.90 a month. I have heard that it's going to go up, but I don't have that figure yet. Then we have the Medicare Advantage plans. There's only three of those that work here in Curry County. We have MOTA, Pacific Source, and Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield. They are a preferred provider, PPOs. There's one HMO in Curry. And then we have another whole world called the Medigap supplement, that it works in conjunction with Medicare, in that if you get the right plan, it will pick up anything Medicare doesn't pay, because Medicare pays 80%, the consumer pays 20%, and has deductibles and co-pays. Some of those can, if you're in the wrong situation, they can get pretty steep. So a lot of times you can take a Medigap supplement to cover that. It does not include prescription drug plan, where an Advantage plan does. So then you have the drug plan to throw in there too. So it takes a little while to figure out just what is going to work best for each individual. Some people, if they are snowbirds and they travel a lot, they want a Medigap plan, because they don't have to go to a preferred provider. They can go to any doctor that accepts Medicare assignment, and they can travel. And you don't have to stop and find out if the company works there or not, because Medigap will follow you everywhere. Or with an Advantage plan, you have to go to their doctors or pay a higher premium.
And it sounds like the Medigap, is that what you called it?
Mm-hmm.
Is a little bit better of an option because it sounds a little bit more flexible.
It is flexible that way, but the problem there is that then you have to carry a separate standalone drug plan because it does not cover your prescription drugs.
There's so much to remember.
Mm-hmm. It is. Like I said, it's not real consumer friendly.
No. Are there ways to make it more consumer friendly? Are they trying that at all, or is it still going to be this confusing?
Well, you know, it started in 2005. We started training in 2005. The first year that people were expected to take it was in 2006. So we've been at it almost 10 years, and they are slowly closing. And I probably should have mentioned this earlier. When you have a prescription drug plan, you have what they call the donut hole. And they are trying to close that donut hole. They hope to have it closed by 2020. But what it amounts to is when you and your insurance company together pay $2,950, then it bumps you into the donut hole and the insurance company doesn't pay anymore, but the manufacturers pay a portion. I take that back. The insurance company does pay a small portion if you're using name brand drugs. And then if you're doing generics, you pay 65% and the insurance company pays 35% until you've hit a cap of $4,900, I think it's $4,990, then you go out of the donut hole and then the insurance company will pay more because you've hit catastrophic.
Our producer sitting here confused, as I am. I am so glad I'm not 65 because I just got lost in that donut hole right there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for attempting to explain that for our listeners. Yeah, that's a lot to remember. I'm so glad that there's people being trained in our state to help people, right? Because this has got to be overwhelming. I can't even imagine the information that must come at someone when they're on Medicare and the stuff they have to try and figure out, right? I'm gaining a lot of compassion for my friends that have complained to me about what they go through because I had no idea.
Yes, and I'm sorry to confuse you, but it has gotten better since 2006. They are closing the donut hole down so that
less of us get lost.
Yes, and hopefully by 2020, that donut hole will not exist anymore and people won't be finding themselves in a position where last week their insurance worked, but this week it doesn't.
Yeah.
And so it's very complicated. And it, like I said, it's not real consumer friendly. We do classes. We had them this year downstairs here at Chetco Activity Center. We call it Medicare 101, and it's open to the public. And we try and explain it as much as we can without causing mass confusion.
Yes. Well, and hopefully this podcast can help some people as well to sort of demystify the process, because you can go back and listen to that. When I listen to this podcast, I'm probably going to listen to that section a couple times to figure out what you just said, because I got totally lost. So I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. I'm here today with Vicki McGinnis from SHEBA, also known as the Senior Health Insurance Benefits Assistance Program. Acronym pro I'm becoming with these podcasts. If you enjoy these podcasts, we encourage you to donate to KCIW. We are a nonprofit and we do appreciate your donations to help keep this wonderful collaboration and sharing going that we're doing amongst members of our communities here in Southern Curry County and across the internet. Special thank you to Vicki McGinnis for coming back a second time to talk with me. And we really appreciate that. Thank you, Vicki. So, Vicki, what do you think, as far as open enrollment goes, so it seems like there'll probably be quite a few people that will need to talk to you come October. So should people start, like, if they hear this podcast, should they, like, get on the phone right away and make an appointment? Do they fill up fast, or?
Yes, they do. Okay. You know, because we do cover the whole county, it does fill up pretty fast. And even though we're getting more volunteers, we're still a little limited. So we do start taking, I will start taking appointments as early as October the 5th. Then I will start, from October the 5th on, I will start booking appointments. Because they're, you don't want to wait till the end, because then we're so swamped we can't get you in. Mm-hmm. Last year, the enrollment ended on a weekend. And my office isn't open on weekends, although I was there until Sunday night, catching the last few people that I knew were going to miss it. So it's something that I really hate for people to say, oh, I'll do that next month, or I'll do that next week, because the next thing you know, it's there. And I always feel really bad if I have people I just can't work into the schedule.
Yeah. So Vicki starts taking appointments October 5th. So if you need an appointment and you're listening, please call as soon as you can on the 5th of October or after and make an appointment. Don't wait until the last minute. If you're a procrastinator like me, you'll wait till the end and it might be too late. So if they live in Brookings, they could make an appointment with you for one of the times that you come down here to Brookings. They don't have to drive to Gold Beach, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But if they wanted to make an appointment with you in Gold Beach, if that worked better for their schedule, could they do that?
Yes.
Okay, so they could go and meet with you in Gold Beach on a different day.
Yes.
If Tuesdays didn't work for them when you're down here, they could go up there.
Yes, I see people from Brookings and Port Orford at the Gold Beach office.
Okay.
On any days that I'm not here.
Okay. And remind us, for those people that didn't listen to the RSVP podcast, where is the Sheba office in Gold Beach?
It's at 29825 Colvin Street, which is part of the courthouse complex, part of the county complex. And we're just a little small building, but on the front of it, it says RSVP Veterans Services, and it has an American flag on it. So we're the only one with that distinction, so we're kind of easy to find.
Okay, cool. So if you're listening and you need to go up to Gold Beach to see them, you can find them on Colvin Street at the county complex. And for our listeners, Vicki, what do you think is the most important thing to remember or be diligent about in this process? What do you think are the biggest pitfalls that people seem to fall into?
I think the biggest pitfall I have seen is that people get complacent because the program that they're with works and they're happy with it. So each year they don't revisit it. And because every year these plans change their premiums, their copays, their deductibles, and their formularies. So it may be working really good right now, but next year it's not going to work so well. And people don't realize that. So they stay with the same company and end up paying more than they have to the next year, because their formularies changed, they've raised their premiums a little bit, or maybe they didn't used to have a deductible and now they do. They don't realize it until they go to the pharmacy the first time, and then the pharmacist says, well, you have to pay this $80 bill. And they say, but I have insurance. Well, yes, but you have a copay. So if they don't take the time to check into that, then they're with that company for a year. Because you can't opt out of these. Basically, you're signing a yearly contract with them. You cannot use them, but you're still going to get billed for them every month.
Okay. So once you commit to one of them, you're stuck with them for the whole year.
Yes, unless you're low income. If you're low income, extra help program, you can change anytime you need to.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, we might have somebody that's on a low-income program that's working with this company. It's working really good, but then they change their formulary. And because they're low-income, we can look and see if somebody else has a better copay.
You've used the word formulary a lot. Is that kind of like a formula, kind of, or?
Well, kind of. The different manufacturers, and they all have these medications, and they are done in tier levels.
Okay.
The most common drug is, you know, tier one. Mm-hmm. And then maybe something that's a little more exotic is tier two, and they go way up there. Well, these different insurance companies and pharmacies look at them, not pharmacies necessarily, but the insurance companies look at them and they say, okay, this drug, because of the pool of people that pull off of it, in this area maybe, well, actually, I think it's statewide, they have more people needing certain drugs. So the larger the draw on the drugs, the where it's going to hit in their formulary or in their formula, that they're going to cover it as a tier one drug. Or if it's something that's more advanced, they're going to call it a tier two drug. So that's how they rate these drugs, and that's how they all do it. And then each year, that shifts a little bit. Maybe a drug that last time was in a tier one is now going to a tier two. The higher the tier, the more the cost. So that's kind of the way the formulary works, as close as I can describe it in layman's terms or in my own mind, is that the more they use it, it's just like the OPDP drug plan, because it covers the whole state. It has a large pool of people, so they can bring the cost of their drugs down more. And these insurance companies work kind of the same way.
Kind of like supply and demand.
There you go. That's what I was looking for.
Well, I finally found my way out of that hole in the middle of the donut right there. It's starting to make a little bit of sense, but this is exactly why we invited you, right? Because when you and I had talked, Vicki, before this podcast, a couple months ago about this, just knowing that this was coming up, right? And how confusing it can be.
It can be very confusing.
Yeah. And like I said, I've had a number of people in this community complain to me about just they get lost in the process and different things happen to them. And it's nice to know that there's someone that they can call that can help them make sense of it and figure it out. And that the state cares so much to have these books for people to use. I can't imagine living in a state that didn't have as much resources with the book and stuff.
Yes, our state office does a wonderful job in trying to help the consumer as much as they can. And if you can't get a hold of me, you can always call the state office and then don't put your zip code in. And then you get to talk to one of the real, real experts on it at the state office.
Especially in Salem?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially if you have something that's really unique. I actually have clients that bring me problems and it's like, I've never heard of this. So I send them on to the state. And up to the state office, and they have someone up there that helps them. Because we do end up with situations that are really hard to handle, in that your compassion for these people gets so strong because they're in such a predicament that you always feel like, well, I don't have the right answers, so I'll send them to somebody that does. I have no problem referring somebody to the state office if I think it's something I can't handle.
Well, that's really cool. So if you can't handle them, there's someone else in line that can help them.
Yes, and they are more than willing to do that.
That's really cool. So, Vicki, as we come to the end of the podcast, is there anything besides the October 5th beginning of appointments, is there anything that our listeners should be aware of or be considering as we come close to open enrollment, or any Medicare tips that you might have for our listeners?
No, not really. My biggest thing would be to tell people to be sure and check your drug plans. And if you have, you know, you can make your changes in your Advantage plans if you're not happy with them at this time. So that would be something we could look at, because the Advantage plans work a little different, and their coverage is a little different. A lot of people love them. And when they first came out, I thought, no, I don't know about this. But the more I work with them, the more I see how good they can do. They do include the drugs. So that's one thing that people like, is it's all in one. And so that would be my biggest suggestion, would be that they make sure they revisit their drug plans.
Hear that, listeners? Revisit your drug plans. Don't get lost in the middle of the donut hole in all this Medicare senior health insurance benefit assistance. Thank you, Vicki McGinnis, for being here today for the podcast. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to sit with me and explain this a little bit better for people. And if you need to get a hold of Vicky, we'll attach her number in Gold Beach to this podcast, as well as the office in Salem. So if you have any questions for the statewide office, thank you, Vicky, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to KCIW. I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer. We've been here today with Vicky McGinnis from the SHEBA office in Gold Beach, also known as Senior Health Insurance Benefits Assistance Program. Really appreciate you, Vicky, and all of your volunteers for RSVP and for SHEBA. It's really awesome. Have a great day, everyone, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.